Reading from The Unknown Reality, Volume 2 by Jane Roberts, a Seth book. Session 709. Okay, so Seth states, everything that is apparent three-dimensionally has an inside source out of which its appearance springs. Some of this, again, is difficult to explain. Not because Rupert does not have the vocabulary, but because serial word language automatically prepackages ideas into certain patterns. And to escape prepackaging can be a task. We will try our best, however. The cell, as you understand it, is but the cell's three-dimensional face. The idea of tachyons, as currently understood, is basically legitimate, though highly distorted. Before a cell, as such, makes its appearance, there are quote-unquote disturbances in the spot in which the cell will later show itself. Those disturbances are the result of a slowing down of prior effects of faster-than-light activity. And represent the emergence into your time-space system of energy that can then be effectively used and formed into the cellular pattern. The very slowing down process itself helps quote-unquote freeze the activity into a form. At the death of a cell, the reverse process occurs. The death is the escape of that energy from the cell form. Its release, the release itself triggering certain stages of acceleration. There is what might be called a residue or debris energy, quote unquote, coating the cell that stays within the system. None of this can be ascertained from within the system. That is, the initial faster than light activity or the deceleration afterward. Such faster-than-light behavior, then, helps form the basis for the physical universe. This characteristic is an attribute of the CUs, or units of consciousness, which have already slowed down to some extent when they form EE units, or electromagnetic energy units. While operating through the body structures, consciousnesses such as your own focus largely upon the three-dimensional orientation. In out-of-body states, however, consciousness can travel faster than light, often, in fact, instantaneously. This frequently happens in the dream state, although such a performance can be achieved in varying altered states of consciousness. At such times, consciousness simply puts itself in a different relationship with time and space. The physical body cannot follow, however. It is by altering its own relationship with the physical universe that consciousness can best understand its own properties and glimpse from another vantage point that physical universe, where it will be seen in a different light. Operating outside of the body, consciousness can better perceive the properties of matter. It cannot experience matter, however, in the same fashion as it can when it is physically oriented. From your ordinary point of view, the traveling consciousness is off focus, not locked into physical coordinates in the designed fashion. The so-called inner world can be at least theoretically explored, however, in just such a way. Consciousness, quote-unquote, unlocks itself for a while from its usual coordinates. When this happens, the out-of-body traveler is not simply out of his or her corporeal form. The person steps out of usual context. Even if an individual leaves the body and wanders about the room no more than a few feet away from where the body is located, there are alterations. The relationship of consciousness to the room is different. Now let me just pause here. So I have actually had an experience with this during a waking state, and I did not leave my body more than maybe a foot, and I went behind my body. And what he's saying here is so true. And when it happened, my husband was reading me the Seth material, I believe it was, and it was the most crazy experience. Like, I was aware of so many different things, and the room looked so different. And I was looking down at my body, and my hands and my body were so small and yellow, actually, like a yellow tone. And I was looking around at, my eyes were closed, okay? So I was looking around at the room, and it just looked so foreign. So anyways, there's more to that story, but let's just keep reading. So Seth continues, "The relationship of the individual to time and space has altered. Time out of the body is, quote unquote, free time by your standards. You do not age, for example, although this effect varies according to certain principles. I will mention these later. Such a traveling consciousness may journey within physical reality. While not relating to that system in the usual manner, it may still be allied with it. From that viewpoint, matter itself will seem to appear differently than it does ordinarily. On the other hand, an out-of-body consciousness may also enter other physically attuned realities, those operating, quote, at different frequencies than your own, end quote. The basically independent nature of consciousness allows for such disentanglement. The body consciousness maintains its own equilibrium and acts somewhat like a maintenance station. Any discussion of the unknown reality must necessarily involve certain usually dismissed hypotheses about the characteristics of consciousness itself. The world, as you know it, is the result of a complicated set of quote-unquote codes, each locked in one to the other, each one in those terms dependent upon the others. Your precise perceived universe in all of its parts, then, results from coded patterns, each one fitting perfectly into the next. Alter one of these, and to some extent, you step out of that context. Any event of any kind that does not directly, immaculately intersect with your space-time continuum does not happen in your terms, but falls away. It becomes probable in your system, but seeks its own, quote unquote, level, and becomes actualized as it falls into place in another reality whose coded sequence, in quotes, fits its own. When consciousness leaves the body, therefore, it alters some of the coordinates. There are various questions involving the nature of perception that then occur, and these will be discussed somewhat later. Consciousness is equipped to focus its main energy, in your terms at least, generally within the body, or to stray from it for varying amounts of time. Theoretically, your human consciousness can take many different roads while still maintaining its physical base. In far past historical times, different kinds of orientation were experimented with. Your own present private experience can give hints and clues about such other cultures, for those abilities reside within the natural framework now, but are underdeveloped. To one extent or another, therefore, all of the potentials of the species are now latent within each individual. Often these spring to the surface through events that may seem bizarre. The quote-unquote unknown reality is unknown only because you have not looked for its aspects in yourself. You have been taught to pay almost exclusive attention to your exterior behavior. privately, then much of your inner life escapes you. You often structure your life according to that exterior pattern of events. These, while important, are the result of your own inner world of activity. That inner world is your only real connection with the exterior events, and the objective details make sense only because of the subjectivity that gave them birth. In the same way, when you look at the current state of the world or at history, you often structure your perceptions so that only the topmost surfaces of events are seen. Using the same kind of reasoning, you are apt to judge the historical past of your species in very limited terms, and to overlook great dues in your history because they seem to make no sense. While you believe, for example, that technology as you understand it alone means progress, and that progress necessarily requires overriding physical manipulation of the environment that must forever continue, you will judge past civilizations in that light. This will blind you to certain accomplishments and other orientations to such an extent that you will not be able to see evidence of achievement when it appears before your eyes. You have not worked with the power of thought or feeling, but only with its physical effects. Therefore, to you, only physically materialized events are obvious. You do not accept your dreams as real, for example, but as a rule, you consider them fantasies, imaginative happenings. Until very recently, you generally believed that all information came to the body through the outer senses, and ignored all evidence to the contrary. It was impossible to imagine civilizations built upon data that were mentally received, consciously accepted, and creatively used. Under such circumstances, scientists could hardly look for precognition in cells. They did not believe it existed to begin with. Okay, I'm going to pause again. I just want to tell you guys something that the first time I read this book, I read it as it is, you know, every page as it is. But the second time I read it, instead of these types of parts where you have not worked with the power of thought or feeling, I would switch it and I'd say, you are working with the power of thought or feeling. You know what I mean? So maybe you guys can do that too to help you with your endeavors. Okay, back to Seth. The human body itself has limitless potentials and great variations that allow for different kinds of orientation. Probable man represents alternate man from your viewpoint, alternate versions of the species. The same applies individually. In out-of-body states, many people have encountered probable selves and probable realities. They have also journeyed into the past and the future as you think of them. The private psyche contains within itself the knowledge of its own probabilities, and it contains a mirror in which the experience of the species can at least be glimpsed. You are used to a particular kind of orientation, accustomed to using your consciousness in one particular manner. In order to study the quote-unquote unknown reality, you must try to see what else your consciousness can do. This really means that you must learn to regain the true feeling of yourself. There are two main ways of trying to find out about the nature of reality, an exterior method and an interior one. The methods can be used together, of course, and from your vantage point must be for the greatest efficiency. You are well acquainted with the exterior means that involve studying the objective universe and collecting facts upon which certain deductions are made. In this book, therefore, We will be stressing interior ways of attaining not necessarily facts, but knowledge and wisdom. Now, facts may or may not give you wisdom. They can, if they're slavishly followed, even lead you away from true knowledge. Wisdom shows you the insides of facts, so to speak, and the realities from which facts emerge. Much of the remainder of unknown reality, then, will deal with an inside look at the nature of reality, and with some exercises that will allow you to see yourself and your world from another perspective. Later, I intend to say far more about some civilizations that, in your terms, came before your own. Before you can understand their orientation, we will have to speak about various alternate kinds of consciousness and out-of-body experience. These will help you to understand how other kinds of cultures could operate in ways so alien to your own. We will be discussing alternate methods of orientation that consciousness can take when allied with flesh, trying to give the reader some personal experience with such altered conditions, along with a brief history of some civilizations that utilize these unofficial orientations as their predominant method of focus. To become familiar with the unknown reality, you must, to some extent, grant that it exists then, and be willing to step aside from your usual behavior. And all of the methods given are quite natural, inherent in the body structure, and even biologically anticipated. Your consciousness could not leave your body and return to it again unless there were biological mechanisms that allowed for such a performance. I have said that the body can indeed carry on performing necessary maintenance activities while the main consciousness is detached from it. To some extent, it can even perform simple chores. In sleep, in fact, it is not at all necessary that the main consciousness be alert in the body. Only in certain kinds of civilizations, for that matter, is such a close body and main consciousness relationship necessary. There are other situations, therefore, in which consciousness ordinarily strays much further, returning to the body as a home station and basis of operation, relying upon it for certain kinds of perception only, but not depending upon it for the entire picture of reality. Physical life alone does not necessarily require the kind of identification of self with flesh that is your own. This does not mean that an alienation results in those realities. Simply, a relationship in which the body and consciousness relate to other events. Only your beliefs, training, and neurological indoctrination prevent you from recognizing the true nature of your consciousness while you sleep. You close out those data. In that period, however, at an inner order of events, you are highly active and do much of the interior mental work that will later appear as physical experience. While your consciousness is so engaged, your body consciousness performs many functions that are impossible for it during your waking hours. The greatest biological creativity takes place while you sleep, for example, and certain cellular functions are accelerated. Some such disengagements of your main consciousness and the body is therefore obviously necessary, or it would not occur. Sleeping is not a byproduct of waking life. In greater terms, you are just as awake when you are asleep, but the focus of your awareness is turned in other directions. As you know, you can live for years while in a coma, but you could not live for years without ever sleeping. Even in a coma, there is mental activity, though it may be impossible to ascertain it from the outside. A certain kind of free conscious behavior is possible when you are not physically oriented as you are in the waking state, and that activity is necessary even for physical survival. This also has to do with pulsations of energy in which consciousness as you know it now exercises itself, using native abilities that cannot be expressed through physical orientation alone. Your own main consciousness has the ability to travel faster than light, but those perceptions are too fast, and the neurologically structured patterns that you accept cannot capture them. For that matter, cellular comprehension and reaction are too fast for you to follow. The poised framework of physical existence requires a particular platform of experience that you accept as valid and real. At that level only is the universe that you know experienced. That platform or focus is the result of the finest cooperation. Your own free consciousness and your body consciousness form an alliance that makes this possible. Such a performance actually means that physical reality clicks off and on. In your terms, it exists only in your waking hours. The inner work that makes it possible is largely done in the sleep state. The meeting of body consciousness and your main consciousness requires an intense focus, in which the greatest manipulations are necessary. Perceptions must be precise in physical terms. To some extent, however, that exquisite concentration means that certain limitations occur. Cellular comprehension is not tuned into by the normally conscious self, which is equally unaware of its own free-willing nature at higher, in quotes, at higher levels. So a disentanglement process must happen that allows each to regenerate. The consciousness then leaves the body. The body consciousness stays with it. Okay, so since this is such a long session and there's a pretty fair amount of notes, I'm not going to go through these individually, but if you are interested, I'm going to put in the description the ones that I think you should refer to, links that have, videos that have links, and I'll put the note next to them so you can read this. I'm just going to go through here really fast. You have to pause really fast if you're interested in studying this. I'm sorry, I'm not going to read it. And I will do my best to give these descriptions in the description of the video for each of these notes. So, for some serious study, I'm not going to give them all as I don't usually, but it really is actually helpful to go and refer back to certain chapters, different books. I reviewed from Tim Hart's channel, Seth Speaks, chapter 15, and oh man, was I glad I did that. I haven't read that book for so long. If you guys haven't done that, or if you haven't read Seth Speaks, holy cow, at least listen to the audio from Tim Hart's channel, or maybe a different channel if you'd rather. But that is a must, I mean, an absolute must. That's the end of this session. Thanks for watching, and definitely comment if you guys have anything you'd like to say. Maybe even give what if you had one question to ask Seth, what would it be? I have my own question that I will discuss at a different time because this video is too freaking long. So.